Welcome to Season 2 of the Basics of Life Conversations with Rob Salvato.
I think that these things we see happening, though, they are being sent by God or allowed by God as a wake-up call. You know, I think he's been gracious, you know, kind of given something like this that's a wake-up call to people to realize how frail and how fleeting life really is. To give them an opportunity, you know, to turn to him and to trust in him. So I think in that sense, it's a foreshadow of just the kind of, you know, devastation that's going to come, a faint foreshadow and a preview of that.
Today on the Basics of Life Conversations, we are welcoming back to the program Pastor Mark Hitchcock. Mark is the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. He completed his PhD at Dallas Theological Seminary and currently serves as an associate professor of Bible exposition at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's authored over 30 books related to end-time Bible prophecy that have sold over 1 million copies. He's considered an expert on Bible prophecy. He's been a contributor on Fox News and various other news outlets. Today, Mark and I are going to be having a conversation about vaccines and the mark of the beast. This is a subject that we both get asked a lot about, and there seems to be a growing concern among Christians as it relates to this subject. So now, here is my conversation with Mark Hitchcock. Well, welcome back to the program, Mark.
Thank you. Great to be back with you again.
And today we are talking about the COVID-19 vaccine and the mark of the beast. A lot of controversy over this, a lot of different thoughts that people have about this. And so to begin this conversation, Mark, I want to first talk about what is the mark of the beast that we read about in Scripture? What's its origin? What's its purpose?
Well, the kind of the biblical entry point really to talk about the mark of the beast is Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. That's really where it's mentioned in Scripture, at least for the first time. It's mentioned some times after that in the book of Revelation. The origin of that, again, it's found there in the book of Revelation, and it's basically an identification that people will have to have, kind of a pledge of loyalty or a pledge of allegiance. It'll kind of be the passport for commerce during the end times, during the tribulation period, really during the last half of that coming 7-year tribulation. So one of these days we'll talk about this, but in case people aren't familiar with this, the rapture will take place. There's going to be a time of tribulation. This Antichrist figure will arise. He's going to have a henchman, kind of a lieutenant, a second in command, a propaganda minister that we call the false prophet, who's going to promote this beast or this world ruler, the Antichrist. And one of the things he's going to do to promote the Antichrist is everybody in the world will have to take this mark. And the word mark, it's the Greek word karagma. It means it can mean an etching or it can mean a tattoo, something that simple. And I think the word that's used there, it says it'll be upon the right hand or the forehead. So, you know, people looking at things kind of under the skin and all of that, it's really something I think that's visible. It's upon the right hand or forehead. And it says there in Revelation 13 that it's going to be the number of the Antichrist's name, 666. So I believe when the Antichrist comes on the world scene, that his name, the numerical value of his name will be 666. You know, both in Hebrew and in Greek, the letters of the alphabet have numerical value attached to them. That's called gematria. So, you know, you can take somebody's name and add it up and it'll equal 666. Now, I'm sure in the phone book out there where you are in San Diego, there's a lot of people's names that we equal 666. You know, we don't need to go looking around for that today. But when this person appears, he's going to come on the scene as a great peacemaker. He's going to forge this 7-year treaty with Israel. And of course, that'll be the first sign to people on the earth that have come to Christ. That'll be the first sign that, hey, this is the person. He's going to come on this platform of peace. And then eventually the iron fist will be revealed inside the velvet glove, and he will take control of the world. And so he'll have a world, military control, political control. You'll have world economic control through this mark, but also have world religious control, because people have to literally think about that. They're going to be taking his name on them. 666 will be the numerical value of his name. So they'll be taking his name upon them. So it'll be more than just, you know, taking a number so you can go buy groceries or whatever. It'll be a pledge of allegiance to him.
Okay.
It'll be like a loyalty oath to the Antichrist. So it's going to be a time like any time in history. People have to make a choice. You know, are they going to serve Christ or are they going to serve Antichrist? It'll be a monumental choice people will make at that time.
And they're going to know they're making that choice.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a willful, knowing choice. Yes. Yeah.
Now, do you think that it's going to literally be like 666 a la Charlie Manson, or do you think it's going to be different than that?
No, I think that's what it'll be. I mean, and that's a weird thing, because people think, well, you know, people nowadays are sophisticated enough. You know, even people that know nothing about the Bible, know what 666 is. And so, you know, surely the guy, if he was going to do something, to use 888 or 444 or something
else.
You know? But I think it's going to be almost just part of his bravado, you know, part of his, you know, people are going to take it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people today that are, you know, liberal, progressive people, you know, I'd never take something like that. They'll take it. I mean, he's going to come, you know, be a miracle worker and, you know, an unbelievable persuasive speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are going to have to take the mark to survive, and it's going to be, you know, bow to me or die. And so people will do it.
Interesting.
And so I think it's part of the deception to a delusion that's going to come in the end times.
Well, I remember like 25 years ago thinking, you know, back, especially when people were so fashion conscious, like there's no way, you know, people are going to get something like that tattooed on them. But now we see like everybody has tattoos, and people are getting tattoos of sports heroes and sports teams, and, you know, and all of it is basically they're pledging their allegiance to something by tattooing it on their body. And so it's I think far more reasonable to think of this, you know, happening now. Well, let's segue into this. Now, why do you think there is a growing concern amongst Christians? Because I know you've heard this, you've been asked this a lot, I've been asked this a lot. Why do you think there's this growing concern among Christians that the vaccine could be connected in some way to the mark of the beast?
Well, you know, it is interesting. There's actually three vaccines now. You know, came out with another one. You know, Johnson & Johnson's come out with one. Now that's a one-shot deal. You know, the other ones, I think, are, you know, with Moderna and others are two shots. So there's actually several of these now. I think the reason that Christians are leery of this, a lot of Christians are, wonder about it. I think one thing is it's global. You know, I think anytime there's something that's global, you know, this isn't, you know, happening in America or even just one state, or, you know, Ebola sometimes kind of, you know, crops up, but it's kind of limited. It seems like kind of to those countries on the west coast of Africa. But this is something that's gone global. I think anytime there's something that's global like this, people are leery of it. You know, a lot of the people that are behind a lot of the vaccination are globalists.
Yes.
So they're elite globalists like Bill Gates and others. And again, I don't know their heart. I have no idea if their, you know, reasoning for that is good, you know, just wanting to prevent, you know, bad diseases, or if they have a more, you know, nefarious, you know, motivation than that. But you have all these global elites that want to do it. I think, you know, people too are concerned and wonder, is this going to be something that's forced? You know, in other words, you can't get on an airplane and travel to Europe unless you've had the vaccine. You know, maybe you can't go shop. You know, you can't go out to stores or whatever. In other words, you've got to have this vaccine. So I think those kinds of things cause people to be really leery of this and wonder, okay, you know, I can see on the surface here, it's a vaccine to, you know, help, you know, not to get this disease, but is there a deeper agenda behind it? And there's also information out there that people have about, you know, that this is got it some kind of tracking device in it. You know, it's more than just a vaccine.
Right.
You know, there's other things in it, you know, that are, you know, either bad for people or going to kill people, or that's going to allow some kind of tracking. So there's all kinds of things out there. And again, you know, I have no idea if those things are true or not.
Right.
I have no idea if you could put that in a vaccine and track people. I do know they've got, you know, some devices now they can put in your skin where they can have all your medical data there. There's just an article recently in Scientific America about that. And you can actually look at it with an infrared light on through an app on a cell phone. Yes. And you can look at that and see somebody's all their medical information and all of that. And you think someday you won't have to have a driver's license, just have that, whatever that is, just show it to a police officer, and they'll just get their infrared, look at it, know who you are, and probably have your criminal record and everything on that. So I think all these kind of things, make people anxious about this and wondering, is there something bigger going on here than just a vaccine for a disease?
And I do think that all of those, this new technology, and I personally do believe that, the mark of the beast could actually be connected in some way to some of these technological aspects of, things that are going on. But if at the very least they are just moving us closer as a society to, the willingness of having all of our data, banking, and all of that, connected to one thing that's a part of our body.
Right. Yeah, that's right. No, it's just, and I agree. I don't know that any technology today will be part of the mark of the beast, but we do know that all of this technology to track people and trace people and know what people buy and know what their, proclivities are and all these kind of things. I think that, certainly the Antichrist will use all of that. He'll employ that. Yes. Whether that's, has anything to do with the mark of the beast or not, he's clearly going to have a global grip, and so he's going to use whatever technology there is out there, to control people's lives.
Right.
And it's coming, like a flood now.
Yeah, it sure is. Now, I believe, and I know you do as well, that there are some clear-cut biblical explanations for why the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. So can you give us some reasons on that?
Sure. I mean, there's several. One is that we're not in the tribulation period yet. since we're not in the tribulation, this is something that's going to be instituted, Revelation 13, when the Antichrist is ruling the world. In fact, I don't even think it'll be in the first half of the tribulation. It'll be that last half of the 70th week of Daniel or the coming time. It'll be in what's called the Great Tribulation. Mm. So trying to make something today the mark of the beast is jumping the gun, I believe.
Okay.
So we don't want to do that. The other thing is the Antichrist hasn't been revealed yet. And I don't think he will be revealed until after the rapture takes place. You've heard the old statement before, if you ever do figure out who the Antichrist is, I've got bad news for you. You've been left behind.
Yeah.
So you don't want to know who he is.
Right.
So I don't think he'll be revealed till after the rapture. And the reason I say that is the Bible tells us that the restrainer has to be removed.
Yes.
Until the Antichrist can be revealed. And I think the restrainer is the Holy Spirit's restraining influence through the church.
Amen.
So that's going to have to be taken out of the way before this man of sin, the Antichrist, can come on the scene. So obviously, if he's not here yet on the scene, he hasn't emerged, then nothing today can be the mark of the beast or be his name, 666, and all of that. And another point that we alluded to earlier is that people will take the mark of the beast knowingly and willingly.
Right.
People aren't going to take the mark of the beast accidentally.
Yes.
Those who take it in Revelation 14, it says they're doomed. Those mm-hmm. who take the mark, they're going to be cast into hell. And so God is not going to send people to hell for doing something accidentally.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be something, I believe, in the end times, people are going to know what it is. They're going to take it. They're going to willingly take it. And when they do that, they're going to really seal their fate. It's going to be a time unlike any other time in history when people are either going to take Christ or Antichrist. And once they take Antichrist, like in 2 Thessalonians 2, God will send strong delusion upon them so they'll believe the lie. So those are just a few reasons why, nothing today, this vaccine or nothing else that we see today before the rapture, really even before the middle of the tribulation, can be the mark of the beast.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with all of that. And just want to reemphase, this is not something, the mark of the beast is not something that you can be tricked into taking. And
right.
Any agenda that might be out there, don't want to be able to control us. That's just not what we see laid out for us in Scripture. Now, let me ask you this question. What do you think the pandemic has taught us about what we do see described in the Bible concerning what will be happening in the last days. I think this past year has maybe taught us a lot. What conclusions have you drawn in looking at this past year and just maybe how it is a precursor or points to things we do see happening in Bible prophecy?
Yeah, I think this pandemic, you know, to me has been a foreshadow of what's coming. I call it a faint foreshadow because, you know, during the fourth seal judgment, this is the, you know, I think in the first half of the tribulation, a fourth of the people in the world are going to die. You know, they're going to die from famine and from the sword and from the wild beasts of the earth, you know, the Bible says, and plagues. And again, it's going to be, you know, today, you know, in the state I live in Oklahoma, we've had about 4,000 deaths out of about 4 million people, you know, from COVID. And again, those, you know, we've had a couple of people in our church pass away. So, you know, it's nothing to be made light of.
Right.
But what's going to happen during the tribulation, Jesus said, you know, there's going to be plagues, you know, in various places. These are going to be, you know, these plagues are going to be supercharged. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to go back to, you know, like the Spanish flu and those kinds of things. So I think what we see with this is a foreshadow of those. I don't think it's not the plagues mentioned in Matthew 24, because I think Matthew 24, again, is talking about what happens during the tribulation period. Uh-huh. Because, you know, if you read Matthew 24 and you read Revelation 6, they're very parallel to each other.
Right.
And Revelation 6, the seals are in the tribulation. So I put Matthew 24 there as well. Uh-huh. But I think, too, it's a foreshadow of just the kind of fear and panic and the confusion, you know, that's out there. You know, think about when there really is a global plague that's killing a fourth of the earth, you know, along with these other things. You know, think of the fear and just the panic that's going to be gripping people during that period of time. So I think to me, you know, it's kind of almost like I don't see the COVID-19 as a birth pain. Again, I see those as during the tribulation.
Right.
But one man I read said these may be like Braxton Hicks contractions.
Yeah.
Some of us who had children, you know, they're kind of the birth pains before the birth pains,
right,
you know, or the false birth pains or whatever. So, again, we don't want to split hairs, you know, too finely here. But I think that these things we see happening, though, they are being sent by God or allowed by God, mm-hmm, as a wake up call. You know, I think he's been gracious, you know, mm-hmm, kind of given something like this. That's a wake up call to people to realize how frail and how fleeting life really is. To give them an opportunity, you know, to turn to him and to trust in him. So I think in that sense, it's a foreshadow of just the kind of, you know, devastation that's going to come, a faint foreshadow and a preview of that.
I think that's a great point. I love the way you put it, a faint foreshadow, because what happens in the tribulation, you know, is what's happening now is going to just pale in comparison to the devastation that takes place. But I think one of the things I thought about was, this is the first time in my lifetime that I've ever experienced something happening that literally affected the entire world, where, yeah, you know, the whole world has, you know, shut down and been affected in a very unique way by this pandemic. And that's, I've never experienced that before. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, again, we're going to see. And in some ways, I'll say this, it almost seemed like it was not possible.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You know, for that to happen. And then the other thing that I think is kind of interesting is, this is the first time in my lifetime, again, on a global scale, that I've seen, you know, a governmental influence happen in countries all over the world, where, you know, things became so mandated and so regulated, you know, where people and government leaders are saying, hey, you have to stay home. You can't leave your house, you know, right now. And if you went out, you would get arrested. We had, you know, friends over in Italy that were experiencing, you know, that type of thing. I think in most places here in the U.S., it didn't get, you know, that drastic, but, you know, just this governmental influence, which will be a part of what happens during the tribulation and the Antichrist when he comes on the scene, is like, you know, this both of a one, you know, the government, so to speak, having, you know, an answer for things, but also kind of a heavy-handedness in the way that they are doing things. Does that make sense?
Well, that's right. No, for sure. And, you know, I think the other thing is, you know, governments have seized this and capitalized on this. I'm sure you've heard of, you know, Klaus Schwab, the head of the mm-hmm. World Economic Forum, is talking about the global reset.
Right.
And so, you know, people are seizing upon this. You know, it's the old statement, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. And so I think, you know, a lot of these global elites are seizing on this and saying, you know, we need a global reset in every area. Social
yes.
justice, redistribution of income, greater governmental control, climate change, you know, all these things that are global and that involve more control over people's lives. You know, you can't eat this kind of food. You can't have cows anymore. You know,
yeah.
all this stuff is going to, you know, bring in just more and more control. So, you know, again, you know, these elites, they love it, but I mean, they certainly enjoy when these kinds of things happen to kind of turn the world upside down, because they can seize that then and have a hand in shaping kind of what
right.
the world looks like when it emerges from that. So,
yeah.
you know, the world's headed for a massive, you know, global reset when the Antichrist comes. But again, we're seeing a preview of it, I think, now for sure.
Yeah. This propelled us toward globalism. I mean, if we were
yes.
we're moving in that direction, you know, at a donkey's pace, now we are on a jaguar's pace. I mean, headed
That's
in,
right.
in the direction of
yeah,
globalism.
I've heard people describe it as it's an accelerant.
Yeah.
You know, it's an accelerant to what's happening. It's not changing a lot of things, but it's accelerating everything. It's like, you know, you're out there, you know, cooking on your gas grill in the old days when you used you know, charcoal and lighter fluid, just like throwing lighter fluid on the
right.
top of it, you know, and that's what's happening with all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mark, we have about 2 minutes, and I want to ask you one final question. What do you think is the next event on the prophetic calendar, and why?
Well, I believe it's the rapture of the church. Now, there are other events that could happen before the rapture,
mm-hmm.
but the next event can happen is the rapture. In other words, no events have to happen before the rapture, but events could happen. But, you know, I think it's the next event, because to me, it's the trigger for all these other things. You know, millions of people disappearing. Again, you talk about a situation for someone with power to come in and seize. You know, it'll be an incredible, you know, the greatest events in the world since the global flood, the mm-hmm. rapture. And so it's going to trigger, I think, all of these other things. So we have no idea the chaos that the rapture is going to trigger and, you know, cause a total, you know, recreating of the global economy, of the world we live in, nations, you know, alliances, alignments, all of these things. So I think the rapture is the next event. And, you know, it's a call for us always then to be ready for that,
mm-hmm.
because at the rapture, believers are going to evacuate this world. We're going to vanish. And this world will be plunged into this time of tribulation. And, you know, all you've got to do is just sit down and read Revelation 6 through 18 and realize you don't want to be here during that time. You don't want to be left behind.
That's for sure.
So that's what we're looking for. You know, we're not looking for the Antichrist.
Amen.
We're not looking for the mark of the beast. We're not looking for those things. We're looking for Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen. Looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and
amen.
Savior and King and Rescuer. And Mark, once again, it's just always a joy to talk to you, and appreciate your time and your perspective on this. And I just pray that the Lord continue to bless you and your ministry there in Oklahoma. And if you are ever coming out here to California again, please hit me up. We'd love to have you back at the church.
Great. That's fantastic. I appreciate that very much. God bless you.
All right. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Basics of Life Conversations with Rob Salvato, where Rob hosts interviews about culture, life, and ministry. You can find more Christ-centered content at goodlion.io. If you're encouraged by today's conversation, please share it with a friend, leave us a review, or give us a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Also, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. We have some incredible conversations for season 2 that you're not going to want to miss here on the Basics of Life Conversations.